Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
The Killer Bees!
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 proudly present The Killer Bees.
Definitely a fan of The Killer Bees.
Don't sweat the technique.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
What up, H-Town? Hey, how we doing?
He's Blank. I'm Branham. Age is behind the glass at Gal. Brian, on-site engineering, Twin Peaks at Kirby. You looking for something to do on a Friday? Go see the boys. I'm broadcasting over U of H. Got a basketball game tonight, but go hang out with the boys. They'd love to see you. They'd love to have you alongside. They'll be broadcasting, of course, until 6 o'clock. Yesterday, we saw a snow game in the NFL, Blankers. A really good one. You know, didn't start off that way. We had Adam Ronis on with us yesterday. He's like, I think there might be a break in the weather. That didn't happen. It was snowing down there pretty good in the second half. Do you like snow games, especially being from up north a little bit?
You know what, Jeremy? I enjoyed playing in them. I enjoy watching them from time to time. What I really have learned over the years because of the Packers' shortcomings in the playoffs when the games matter the most is I think it evens the playing field, and it can be a detriment more than it's a positive, even if you're the team that plays in the cold water weather more frequently. And I say that because of the fact that if you're, say, a big-time, you know, passing-type offense, even though you play in cold weather, if you get the appropriate storm at the right time as a team coming in there, if you just manage the game the way turnovers can happen in a moment's notice and unexpectedly because of the slipperiness of the ball and the conditions, you can win a game that you might be a heavy underdog in simply because the elements are too much for either team to do anything but deal with the unexpected.
You played in the snow?
Yeah.
You played football?
Well, I mean, like, in college situations. And in high school, the worst we got was we got early snow sometimes, but it was more flurries and stuff. But it would be more or less the after effects would be the really cold with the really mushy, wet fields, not the, like, overall. I mean, look, as kids, we wanted to play games in the snow. We would organize games in the snow. But, yeah, just from the standpoint of playing in it, we would get flurries, and then we would get like playing in a mud bowl.
I never knew you played football. How come I didn't know this?
I played football in high school for sure, yeah.
What position did you play?
Played tight end, safety.
Yeah, you did.
Backup quarterback.
Okay. I didn't know this about you. We should spend more time together.
I played 4 sports in high school and 2 in college.
4 sports?
Mm-hmm.
All right, basketball, football.
We had summer baseball and golf in spring, so okay. I was able to play both.
Look at you, 4 letters. Now, it wasn't Wisconsin. I mean, you can roll out of bed and do that.
Here
in Texas.
We go. I knew that this was coming at some point.
I like snow games, too. I think that they're fun. Now, I think it's kind of fluky if it happens in the playoffs. Like, George Pickens, listen to what George Pickens had to say after yesterday's game. George Pickens, Steeler, wide receiver. He's trying to pick fights with everybody he can pick fights with. It dates back to Georgia. Here is what he said after the game, George Pickens.
What do you guys try to take away from this loss? What's the message, you know, in the locker room?
Just keep grinding. Like I said, conditions played a huge, huge part in today's game. I don't really think the Cleveland Browns are a good team at all. I think the conditions kind of saved them today.
Okay. Like, I kind of agree with George Pickens whenever he says that. Like, I really do. I think it's a fluke to have it in the postseason. And I know you can't control Mother Nature. There's open roof stadiums, so you can't really control this. But I agree with the theory. Like, if you get eliminated in the playoffs in a weather game, like whenever the Raiders got beat by the Patriots in, you know, the snowplow game, whenever they wiped off the snow for Adam Vinatieri, I do think it's fluky. Like, I would be really ticked off if my team got eliminated in the postseason in a snow game, because I do think it's a great neutralizer.
Well, so you look at the Packers games that they've lost. In the Rodgers era, it was three of the last 4 years when they got the – including the last one against the Niners, when you got a West Coast team that comes to Green Bay, but you make the mistake that turns into the fumble or the interception or the block punt on top of everything else, and suddenly it doesn't do you any good. Favre did the same thing. They were 15-1. Everybody said, you know, they were going to the Super Bowl, and they played in an absolute below-zero icebox-like situation with the wind chill, and they lost in overtime. And it used to be that everybody said, oh, it's a huge advantage for the home team. And when, the more you look at it, and I would be interested in the analytics on all this, when you look at it, I really do. I think it actually takes a lot of the spread out of the equation and evens the playing field.
Yeah, I agree with what George Pickens said. Like, look, the Steelers have to look themselves in the mirror too, and they lost to the Cleveland Browns and Jameis Winston. It was a short week, and it was in the snow, so I don't put a ton of stock in the game. Whenever I'm thinking about what the Steelers are and where they stack up against the rest of the AFC, and I'm in favor of a good snow game when it doesn't involve my team. But if my team is ever in the postseason and they get eliminated whenever they're favorites in the snow, that probably never happened because it's not going to snow in Houston. It would tick me off. Watching this game and watching the Steelers lose, do you think about the Texans seeding at all? Like, have you allowed yourself to go there?
Not yet. Because of the fact that I've just been so, I guess I've, of all of us, I've been the glass half empty on just like, you know, this team needs to still play better and get to a certain point. So I haven't let my mind get to that situation yet, but I understand where you're going.
Yeah, see, I thought about it in the fourth quarter yesterday, and then when the Browns won the game, and I was like, yeah, let me look at the standings here real quick. You're still two back of Buffalo, and I think your schedule is a little bit more difficult than Buffalo, so I'm not going to allow myself to go there completely, but you do have the tiebreaker on Buffalo. So, like, I think it is something that you could start to monitor a little bit. Like, you're 7-4. You've played 11 games. You only have 6 games left in the season. If you could get back into that conversation, especially if you're a game back of Buffalo, since you beat them in the head-to-head, you would have the tiebreaker over them. And I also think it's critical. Like, if the Houston Texans want to reach new heights, if the Houston Texans want to go somewhere that they've never gone before, AFC Conference Championship game, I think that the path has to run through Houston. Like, the Texans, to me, are a different team whenever they're playing at home versus when they're on the road. 4-1 at home, 3-3 on the road. But also just look at it eye test-wise. Like, the Houston Texans go on the road and they lose to the Jets. They're at home and they beat Buffalo and they're very competitive with Detroit. In fact, led that game by 16 points at the half. So I think they're a little bit of Jekyll and Hyde. I think they're a little bipolar. I think they're a really good team at home. I think they're an average to above average team on the road. So if the ceiling for the Texans this year is AFC Championship game and you're like banging on the table, they got to get to the AFC Championship game. If that's what makes this season a success, I really think that has to go through Houston. I feel like their chances of getting to an AFC Championship game are pretty good if they're a 2 seed. I feel like they're almost unrealistic if they're less than a 2 seed.
I think that's accurate. I was thinking 2 seed as well when you were setting that scenario up. Like, Kansas City, you're not going to catch anyway, but Kansas City, they can play on whatever field that they're playing on, and they're conditioned to play in it. They're fine. I think from a Baltimore perspective, the scary thing is just the fact that with adding some more weapons and a Derrick Henry, they can play traditional Ravens football, but they can also open it up a little bit more this year with all the receivers they have, and they can play either way. But for you, it's more important because, yes, you have a running game, but your offense is predicated on the fact that if you're in good conditions and you're not dealing with the cold, the passing game is easier for CJ and for the receivers, and even Joe Mixon, who played in Cincinnati, I would think you probably have a better chance with traction and everything else playing at home.
Yeah, I think that the Texans, it's critical. 1-9-7-0-4 would play the Chargers. 3 seed would play the Ravens. I'm looking at it more from a 2 seed perspective. Like, and I understand that it's a bit daunting because Buffalo's schedule, you're 2 back of Buffalo right now, but you hold the tiebreaker. So if you can match Buffalo, now you're looking at the 2 seed. The Bills the rest of the way. Now, they do have a tough one against the 49ers this week, but will the 49ers have Brock Purdy or a healthy Brock Purdy? So I think it diminishes, you know, the chances of Buffalo losing that game. Then you go at L.A., cross-country. That's not easy. Then you go
this
at
week,
Detroit.
The Packers play the Niners this week.
Okay, the Bills are on a bye then.
The Bills' next game is
San Francisco. It's on December 1st. Yeah, so they're on a bye this week, Buffalo. And then when they come off the bye, they take on San Fran the first day of December. They're at L.A. They're at Detroit. So, like, if you're going to catch them and you're watching Buffalo a little bit of the standings, it needs to be over the next three. Because their final three, home for New England, home for the Jets, at New England. So if you're sitting back like, hey, we got to get a two seed so you can have home field advantage up until the AFC Championship game, you really need Buffalo to struggle the next 3 weeks after their bye.
Yeah, you do. Because that's a different environment, too, because when you talk about going to Buffalo, even as opposed to Baltimore, and Baltimore was what? It was like 31 last year when they played the playoff game in Baltimore. When you go to Buffalo, the wind is a major factor, too. And all of the elements are in play there, and that's a totally different ball game to where it's a massive advantage if you take a team from Houston and put them in that environment, as opposed to saying Kansas City or Baltimore, who's still playing cold temperatures and snow, they can handle that. I think in the AFC, at the top of the AFC this season, Houston is at the biggest disadvantage other than Miami. We saw it last year with Miami. Miami, who had a very high-powered offense, came into their playoff game in cold weather and snow, and I think it was in Kansas City, but they had no chance of doing anything offensively because they're not used to playing in it.
Yeah. Texter saying, I think that you want the Chargers. See, this is like, now you're looking, I think, too much at the seeding currently right now, because the Texans are the 4 seed right now. Chargers are the 5 seed. Of course, the 4 plays the 5 in the first round. 3 plays the 6. So right now you match up against the Chargers. There's still a lot of football left to be played, though. Like, I'm not like, okay, I don't want to jump to the 3rd seed because I'm trying to avoid a matchup against the Ravens. And a lot can change between now and then. It wouldn't shock me if the Ravens take over the Steelers and win the AFC North. So
right,
I'm not really
right.
worried about opponent right now. You still have a lot of games left. You have 6 games left. I'm not worried about opponent in the postseason. What I'm worried about is trying to get as many home games as possible. And if you really think that the Houston Texans need to go further in the postseason than they did a year ago, I think it's critical that they play a divisional round game at home. I don't think they can win on the road in a divisional round.
Jeremy, I've said this before as it relates to the home field advantage, and obviously the Texans don't have a disadvantage at home, but I've said forever and a day when it's always still so hot here where it's not everywhere else, they could have a massive advantage against those other teams if, per se, it was still very hot here, and they could make teams come to Houston and then play in like the normal conditions we're used to, heat and humidity. But they've always kind of shied away from it. O'Brien was big against it. But I think that would be more of a home field advantage for a team like Houston than the snow and the elements for teams in the East or the Midwest.
Yeah, see, I personally think that stuff can be a bit overrated. Like, quite frankly, because you're not playing with local people, you know? Like, the Houston Texans are filled with players who played from all over the country that are from all over the country. Like, if the Houston Texans had a bunch of New Yorkers and the Green Bay Packers had a bunch of Texans, which team is better in the heat? Which team's better in the cold? Is it team, like, you know what I mean? Like,
teams
are filled with, like, people from everywhere.
I do, but what I'm saying is, if all year you've played in a certain environment where it wasn't humid and, you know, 88 to 90 type weather, and then suddenly you got to go play in that environment, your level of cardio and your level of, you know, hydration and everything changes drastically, as opposed to a team that week in, week out practices and plays in it all the time. I think from an advantage standpoint, that's a truly bigger advantage than leveling the playing field because everybody's got to play in snow and cold or the elements.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think those are good conversations that can never be fully measured because, you know, it's kind of just eye test on that one. Jameis Winston yesterday. How awesome is Jameis Winston? I love Jameis Winston. Couple of clips yesterday from Jameis Winston. Best of Jameis Winston. Some Winston wisdom, if you will. Here was Jameis Winston pregame before he didn't single-handedly beat the Steelers, but before he beat the Steelers pregame with Kaylee Hartung before the game.
You have said you don't become a Brown until you beat the Steelers. What will it take tonight?
The horse is prepared for battle, but victory comes from the Lord. So I'm dependent on the Lord.
Is that the message to the team?
Day by day, one play at a time. That's the message.
Weather conditions tonight. We're expecting winds up to 15 miles per hour in a wintry mix. How will that impact your ability to throw the ball?
I am so happy and grateful that the Lord has blessed me to play in some snow, to be in true football weather in Cleveland, Ohio, at Huntington Bank Field today to get him the glory. It's a beautiful day.
Sure feels like you're playing in the AFC North.
It is. It's magical. Thank you.
I love that guy, Blinkers. I love Jameis Winston.
I'm trying to think of, like, the equivalent of Jameis Winston now. It's like back in the day, the Mark the Bird Fitterich guy that was just so out there with his antics on the mound that people signed up to see that. People just want to hear Jameis talk. They don't even – how he plays is irrelevant.
I think he might be entering, like, Bill Walton territory a little bit, where, like, anytime he opens his mouth, like, you don't know what's going to come out of it. But, yeah, I really enjoy some Jameis Winston. I agree with him that you're never fully a Brown until you beat the Steelers. He did that yesterday. And then after he did that yesterday, here's some more wisdom from Jameis in the postgame.
All of the NFL films came against
Man, you know, it really was amazing. Like, I was just praying on the sideline because – that fourth quarter, it really was like it was a whole paradigm shift. Like, we were playing so well offensively, and then bang, bang, back-to-back drives with turnovers. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh. Like, this is really an NFL's film moment. The snow starts pouring down. It starts getting – like, my feet started getting heavy because I'm squishing through the snow. And, man, it was so good. And it was so great to end up getting that win.
Yeah, he's the best. Love me some Jameis Winston.
If you could have seen, for the people just hearing that for the first time, the video of it too. He does like this shimmy shake when he said the paradigm shift, and then he went on post game with NFL Network, and he got all of the guys from Amazon on the set to do snow angels with him right at the end of the segment.
Yeah, I saw that.
It was crazy. They're in street clothes in the middle of all the snow doing the snow angels. He's in the uniform, and they're all doing snow angels.
Jameis Winston is awesome. I hope he's a Houston Texan next year, backing up C.J. Stroud. All right, Houston Texans play the Tennessee Titans, formerly the Houston Oilers, coming up on Sunday, NRG Stadium. If Amy Adams Skunk wants to see a little bit of Houston blue, she can come over to TDECU Stadium tomorrow, where the Cougars are wearing their Houston blue. But is this coach speak? Is this owner speak? What everybody has to say about this matchup, how much of it is real, how much of it is coach speak or owner speak, that's next. Killer Bees, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5. Hey. You can get in touch with the show at 713-780-ESPN. Twitch, we're on there, ESPN, at twitch.tv/ESPN97.5. ESPN Houston on YouTube, on Twitter at ESPN 97.5. Blankers at Pac-Man, Joel on Twitter, Brian at Sacked by BMAC. I'm at Jeremy Branham. Killer Bees broadcasting live, Twin Peaks Kirby on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Guys, a minute for Vandiford Air and all the different things that Vandiford Air can do for you. VandifordAir.com is where you can go to find out all the services they offer. They can do a complete repipe of your house. They can actually do a humidifying system within your air conditioning units. They can take care of your air conditioning and your heating from the repairs and the problems to a whole new system. And they do it all by backing everything up with 100% satisfaction guarantee or your money back. That's why I speak for them, because we know how hot it gets in Houston. We were just talking about it. When it gets very hot or your air conditioner has problems, you know you need it fixed yesterday. And that's why I mentioned Vandiford Air, because unlike the other companies that put your name at the back of the list, tell you it might be days before they can get to you, then come in, do the job as quick as they can to get to the next job. Don't put anything in writing and don't give you any guarantees. It's the exact opposite with Vandiford Air. I always tell you to lock their number in your phone, because they do everything with a backup, everything with a guarantee, and everything in writing. That means from the time that you call them, they guarantee within 24 hours they'll be out to see you, no matter how many people they have on the call sheet. Then after they are out to see you, they'll diagnose your problem right away, and they'll write it up. And they'll write up what the solution would be if you just want to replace the part, and what the solution would be if you want to put in a whole new system. And from there, everything is guaranteed or your money back. The work their employees do, the parts and the systems that they use, the fact that the unit will then get to the temperature that you expect it to get to, and that you are 100% satisfied with everything, the way it was done and the way it came out, or your money back. That is huge. That is so rare in business these days, and that's why I tell you to lock the number in your phone. 281-557-COOL. That gets you locked into Vandiford Air. Keep it in your phone. Maybe you're not calling them now because you don't have any problems. But maybe when you do, you're going to go, what was that company Joel was talking about, the one that's going to give me the guarantees? 281-557-COOL. It's VandifordAir.com.
You're back with the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Easton Freeze will be joining us at 3:30. Covers the Houston or the Tennessee Titans for A to Z Sports. BZ Money at 4. We're going to hop on the winning bandwagon again. Taylor McGarg, former Rice Owl quarterback, college football analyst, join us later too to break down everything that's happening in the college football world. Plus, who said it? Everybody's favorite game. Love that game. Just absolutely love that game. All right, is this coach speak, owner speak? How much of it is real? How much of it is just coach, owner speak? Cal and Hannah, they were at Fire Station 33 yesterday, and we heard Cal McNair break down what firefighters do, really insightful stuff. Here was Cal and Hannah whenever they were asked why the Titans rivalry means so much.
Well, it's all of our AFC teams. We have a good rivalry. We play them twice a year. So our players, they know each other. The coaches know each other really well. And, it's a challenge to play someone twice a year because of that. So you'll see that on Sunday. These guys know each other. And it'll be a battle. It's always a battle.
It's a fun rivalry. We've taken over Houston. We've taken our fans back, so they're just the Titans now.
All right, there you go. How much of that is owner speak? How much of that is real?
Half and half. I think that the hot air is coming from the king of hot air. That would be Cal, just giving you a bunch of just blah, blah, blah. And then Hannah comes in from nowhere with the haymaker that I loved. That's real.
Yeah, she was a little catty about that. Hannah doesn't like Amy Adams. Like,
no,
it's very,
she does
very
not.
Clear. Like, it's not, I don't think it's fabricated. I don't think that it's this make-believe. I think it is very, very real. Like, Cal was trying to take the high road and give you owner speak. Like, everything Cal said was owner speak. Oh, divisional game, they matter twice a year, all of that. And then Hannah from the top rope, yeah, we took our fans back. Which is kind of embarrassing, if we're being honest. Like, Tennessee moved from Houston a long time ago. So, like, taking your fans back in 2024 isn't like this major feat, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think it's more so that, you know, so much has been made about, even with the ex-Oiler players that are all talking about, they get treated better at Tennessee and their numbers are in the Raptors there and they get honored and remembered more there, that I think that has really kind of irked and agitated everyone in the Texans organization, to say whether some of the fans that wanted to stay with the Oilers as they became the Titans. And at that time, we didn't have a team. Maybe she's talking about that, too. To the fact that it's gotten to the point where a line has been drawn in the sand that they try to force the fans to make a choice on. And it seems like now, probably more so due to do with winning than anything else, they are getting their share back.
Yeah. I mean, there's way more Cowboy fans in Houston than there are Titan fans, though. Way
yeah, that's
more.
That's probably true.
All right. Here's Cal McNair asked about being in 7-4 and where they currently stand in the NFL.
We're excited for the end of the year coming up, and hopefully playing our best ball so we will play better and better as the year goes on and be really good at the end of the year. That's what we want. 7 wins is great, but it doesn't really do anything for us. We got to get some more wins and see where we are at the end of the year.
I was really hoping he would say that it doesn't give us a hill of beans, but it's not what he said. I could listen to Cal McNair talk all day. I love listening to the wisdom and insightfulness that one Cal McNair has. But as far as owner speak and how much of it is real, I mean, this is 100% owner speak, one day at a time, getting where we need to go. That was owner speak to me.
Oh, without question. I mean, I thought he'd throw in the good Lord willing, everything will work out in the end, and hopefully he can help the team to get to where they need to go. Because, yeah, that's straight out of a movie stuff right there. He's not going to give you the hard-edge, hard-nosed stuff that we've grown accustomed to Cal not giving us.
All right, let's get to Cap. DR, they call him. Here was D'Amico Ryans on Tennessee's defense, which is stout. Number 2 defense in the NFL. How much of this is real? How much of it's coach speak?
With Tennessee, their defense, you know, it stands out starting up front with Simmons and Sweat, like two big players that are hard to move. They make it difficult, very difficult to run the ball against them because they do such a great job of controlling the line of scrimmage, and they're two guys who are really hard to displace just because of their size and their power. So that is the focal point for us, is how do we handle right their defensive line, because that is their strength right now. And they do a really good job on, you know, third down, playing tight coverage, forcing you to make plays. I think they're just really – they're in sync. They're coached really well. Their guys play hard. It's going to be a really tough defense to go against. They do a really good job just not only schematically, but also just the way that they're – in the style that they play. They play an aggressive style of defense, and it's challenged a lot of people, and it's going to be a challenge for us.
There you go. How much of that's coach speak? How much of it's real?
That's pretty real. Their defensive line is no joke. I think Justin Simmons is one, if you could say he's underrated, because a lot of There's a lot of defensive tackles. They don't get a lot of credit anyway, but there's other guys that kind of people like to try and draw a lot of attention to. And because Tennessee's not as good record-wise, he is a unbelievable force in the middle of any defensive line. And Sweat's the guy that we were intrigued by, talked about in terms of would he fit, would he not, would the Texans be looking at as we went into the draft. And those two guys together, it is going to be interesting to see how the Texans are able to run the football and can they be effective when between the tackles there's a whole lot of beef to be moved in that middle of that line.
No, I think this is absolutely real. Like, I think DeMeco does. I mean, obviously, DeMeco has an appreciation of good defense, being a defensive mind. And Tennessee's defense is legit. Like, we can make fun of the Titans' record. We can make fun of Will Levis. We can make fun of the offense. We can make fun of Amy Adams Skunk. Their defense is legit, and the interior of that defense is legit. So this is absolutely legit. There's no lipstick on a pig, zero coach speak. That is legitimate. But how about the offense? Here was DeMeco on the Titans' offense.
Offensively, you put on the tape, it goes to the running game. I think Pollard is a really good player. Always respected him from his time in Dallas. He's an explosive player. Really, you may think he's a scat back, but he does a good job of playing with power and making guys miss tackles. So the emphasis is going to be back again on the tackling. Like, that's going to be very key. And schematically, they do a really good job in the run game of giving us different schemes, more scheme runs than we've seen before. So they'll do a good job of trying to run more gap runs where they try to trap our deep tackles or wham our. So our guys just have to play really good awareness up front from the D-line. And then the quarterback, Levis, he does a good job of just, man, he probably has one of the strongest arms in the league, similar to Anthony Richardson. Mm-hmm. This guy, well, he can sling it, right? He can throw the ball very far, and then I'm still our guy. It doesn't matter. Guys covered, uncovered, he's going to throw the ball up and give his guys opportunity to make a play. And the guy who he's trying to throw it to the most is Calvin Ridley. Yep. Right, guy who played with the Jacksonville Jaguars in previous years. We've seen him before, but he's a challenge when it comes to the deep threat. And, you know, we have to play aggressive on him, get hands on him, challenge him. And our defensive line, for us to win this game, the key is going to be our defensive line getting after their offensive line. Yep. And I think that's been our strong suit this entire year. It's been a weakness for them, so we have to exploit that.
Coach speak, real.
I think it's so funny because that is coach speak, because he's trying to, if you can't say anything nice, don't say anything at all. Yeah. So essentially he's just telling us what we already know. Will Levis has got a strong arm. I'm not going to talk about his accuracy or the passing game. I'm going to talk about the fact that basically they can run the football. They got a decent running back, but other than that, there's not a lot to talk about there.
See, I think he was being pretty real, just like in a nice way. Like, I really don't think it's coach speak. Like, he didn't sit there and tell you, like, oh, Levis is this great, fantastic quarterback. No, he just told you he had a howitzer and could throw the ball really far. Like, so I think it was actually, like, legitimate from DR. I don't think that he was giving you much of the coach speak. He was just letting you down softly.
it's like basically as honest as I can be without being offensive. He's like Anthony Richardson, who we also know can't throw accurately but has a hell of an arm. And we do know that they can run the football a little bit. So I'll say what I have to say without trying to offend anybody.
Callahan for the Titans. He said good things about the Texans' offense. He said good things about Stroud. Really not worth playing it. Instead, we'll talk to Easton Freeze, NFL reporter, Titans host, and beat writer for A to Z Sports. Easton Freeze with the Titans' perspective when we return. Killer Bees broadcasting from Twin Peaks on Kirby on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, we're sitting here enjoying the Twin Peaks atmosphere right now, and I'm reminding you that, hey, it's going to be happy hour somewhere. If it isn't now, it will be real soon, and you might want to raise a glass. Maybe you want to have some people over to the house this weekend, and you want to entertain with some food and some beverages. I encourage you, aside from the beer or the hard alcohol, to try a little Stella Rosa wine. Stella Rosa wine is always served chilled, and it is the perfect complement to whatever food you're serving. It could be anything from pizza and wings, chips and dips, to all the other thoroughfare from the burgers and whatever else you decide to serve. They have a wine that'll go with it, and it's fantastic. It's refreshing. It has just the right amount of alcohol, not too much, not too little. It'll basically pace you without you having to really worry about pacing yourself, and it tastes delicious. It's all natural fruit flavors with just the right amount of spice, and everything is really, really nice with all the food and all the games. No matter how the game turns out, you're going to be happy knowing that you got a great beverage to go with whatever food you consume. And you can get them, like I said, at your local retailer. It just doesn't have to be at a liquor store. They're served everywhere. Grab a couple bottles the next time you have people over, or you're going to somebody's house as a way to kind of say thanks for inviting us over. go and check out some Stella Rosa wines, and you will find out in no time at all how delicious they are and how they go with everything you serve. I believe in Stella Rosa wines, and that's why I tell you, enjoy them while you're watching sports, and please celebrate responsibly.
Hear the Killer Bees weekday afternoons from 3 to 6. Still waiting for them to make some honey.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Brett.
Killer Bees, Blank and BMAC over at Twin Peaks on Kirby. As we go straight out to the HRNP guest line, welcoming in our guest, Easton Freeze, NFL reporter, Titans host and beat writer for A to Z Sports. Easton, thanks for taking a few minutes hanging out with the Killer Bees on this Friday afternoon ahead of Sunday's matchup between the Houston Texans and the former Houston Oilers. Brian Callahan, first year head coach for Tennessee. How's the city kind of filling out the first year head coach? What has been a difficult season today?
Yeah, you're right. It's been a difficult season. And first of all, I appreciate you guys having me on. I think that it's hard to wrap your arms around how it can possibly be okay despite being 2-8 and being a really disappointing season. But I don't see a lot of the red flags with this team that you sometimes see with teams that are in a similar position when things aren't going well in terms of wins and losses. And you have locker room dysfunction. You have, rumors breaking out amongst the coaching staff and fingers being pointed and players not maybe playing as hard as they otherwise would on the field. I'm not seeing those signs of dysfunction. I'm just seeing a team that hasn't put it together yet and a team that in a certain in a couple of certain areas are lacking in talent, and it's hurting them in a big way, like at right tackle and like at the edge position, and up until just recently, like at the quarterback position, really harming them on Sundays. So, for Brian Callahan, I'm sure 2-8 is not what he imagined, but I think that, for a 2-8 start, his team and the organization have wrapped their arms around him and the vision that he and Rand Carthon have as best they can. 10 games into the season, I still see a team that is trusting the process and trusting that this will continue to trend in the right direction. They're just being patient.
You know, Easton, we called it here Embrace the Suck, and it was because, you know, when you're pressing that full reset, sometimes you have to admit to yourself and to your fan base that this might take a few years, and that's why it's encouraging to hear you talk about the fact that Rand Carthon and now Callahan have a little leeway, hopefully, to kind of do the right things here, because when you lose a Derrick Henry, it's one thing, and Vrabel was a steady guy for you guys as well. I'm curious about Will Levis, because you said that, you know, it seems like everybody is embracing all of that. But with a guy like Will Levis that, you know, it's either you either love him or you hate him in a lot of ways. You see the athleticism. You see the big arm. But we saw a lot of the carelessness and the probably trying to be a little bit too tough and put his head into things. Do you see him being a part of this thing long term?
Long term is tough. Right this second, no. I think it's an uphill battle for him. And you're right that, you know, coming into this year after a rookie season that was really up and down, I wrote about it this week at AtoZSports.com about how you can really bucket his career into three acts at this point, right? And act one was that rookie season, his first 8 games in the league. The highs were really high, and the lows were easy to attribute to a really, really terrible situation for a rookie quarterback to find themselves in. And so he certainly did enough last season as a rookie to earn himself a shot in his second year. And then in the offseason, they put a lot of help around him. You have a new offensive coach. Everything is rosy. Things are good. He's the guy. And the expectations are high coming in. And then you get to September. He has a really brutal second act to his career. The first 5 games of this year before he got hurt, he was really bad. And on tape, down to down, it wasn't a disaster nearly as much as it felt like. But it felt terrible to fans because the dozen or so truly awful plays he made in that 5-game stretch were game-breaking, back-breaking mistakes, and they cost the team dearly. And so he gets hurt, and he is gone for the better part of 6 weeks. And we've seen him back the last 2 weeks against the Chargers and the Vikings. And in this third act, which, God willing, health willing, he, you know, gets to play these final 9 games of the season, 2 of which he's already played, so 7 remaining. It looks like a third version of this guy, who is a little bit more reserved. Seems like he's grown up. Seems like, frankly, reality kind of smacked him in the face the past month and a half as he's been on the bench. And his NFL starter mortality becoming very real in his mind, and him realizing it's now or never for him. And he's got this 9-game stretch to prove to his team and to the city he's worth further investment. In the 2 games he's been back against the Chargers and the Vikings, they have genuinely been, despite losses, they have been 2 of his better games of his career. They've also been 2 of his most mature games of his career. He hasn't done the reckless things. He has had decent mobility in the pocket and done the things you've really been asking him to do in terms of living to see the next down and making the big hero play in the right moment and not trying to force it. And it's a step in the right direction. Now, does he have a long way to go? Absolutely. And he's probably going to need to help this team win some games down the stretch to keep them out of range for their guy in the draft, because if their favorite quarterback is available to them, that opportunity cost of, well, one more year of Levis versus our guy becomes the question. If you win a couple games down the stretch, win your way out of a top draft pick, suddenly the idea of Levis again in 2025 becomes more appealing. So I think his destiny, next year at least, is really still in his hands.
Yeah, I liked him coming out of Kentucky. I think that you see a lot of good things. The problem is that he just can't eliminate the bad so far. I agree with you. He has looked better in the last 2 weeks since he returned from injury. Easton Freeze, NFL reporter, Titans host, and beat writer for A to Z Sports. How would you best describe Amy Adams Strunk's relationship with Houston?
Can you repeat that last part? Her relationship with who?
Houston, the city.
With Houston. Oh, brother. You're trying to get me in trouble, man. The Adams family, obviously we know the tumultuous history of how the team left. And her father, a character of a man, somebody that ran the team differently than Amy has chose to run the team, certainly. She's not her father's daughter in a lot of ways, but her relationship with the city is complicated. Obviously, she still lives there. I think Houstonians know that, but if you don't, like, Houston is still home for the Adams family, and she splits time between Nashville and Houston. And, I think her and the ownership group of the Texans aren't the biggest fans of each other, naturally. And, I think fans should like that, you know? Bring us back to the days of old where sports teams really just kind of hated each other. I don't mind it one bit. And you're going to get a little petty here and there. And, you know, you're going to wear your Oilers uniforms, which you have every right to do, against the Texans to piss them off. And, you know, the Texans are going to beat you and then rub it in your face. That's the way that it goes a little bit. So I don't mind it at all. But I think her complicated relationship with Houston is a good thing for us.
I'm curious, just expanding on that a little bit, Easton, is the fact that the uniforms have become such a big deal. And before that, we would make mention of the fact that guys that played their entire career in Houston and represented the city have their numbers hanging in a stadium in a city in which they never played. And that kind of added even more fuel to all this fire that you would think that, and maybe you can tell me if I'm wrong, but you would think that the people of Tennessee would basically say, hey, we want to create our own legacy while they're here, because obviously Eddie George and McNair split time and you guys had success with those guys. But the fact that Bruce Matthews and Earl Campbell and so many others are sitting there with their numbers up there and people are like, are they good with that? Or and is that a good thing or a bad thing?
Oh, people in Nashville love it. And, you know, like guys like Bruce Matthews, they split their time between being an Oiler and being a Titan. And you know, a lot of Houston fans, I think, misunderstand the Titans wore Oilers uniforms in the state of Tennessee. It was a brief transitional period, but that was their introduction to the state of Tennessee was in the Oilers garb. So the original fans of the Tennessee version of the Oilers and eventually Titans, that's what they were first introduced to. They're also sick uniforms, so you want to wear them. And they belong to that franchise. I think Nashville residents, when they hear the pushback from Houstonians, I'm sympathetic to the idea. If I was a resident of Houston in my entire life, I was a big Oilers fan, and then the franchise left, that would make me sad. I get it. I mean, that is upsetting. And when you no longer can claim ownership over that legacy, that can be frustrating. But I think the rebuttal from a lot of Nashville folks is you shouldn't have let the team leave. And I know that there was a financial situation there. I know that it also had to do with Bud Adams being a finicky character and that maybe not being the easiest to negotiate with when it comes to building a new stadium. But at the end of the day, the team wanted a new stadium. Houston wasn't willing to pay for it, and so they went somewhere where it would be paid to be built. And that's the way that the world works.
Yeah, I think it's a fair way to look at it. We appreciate the time. If you're traveling to Houston, enjoy the journey. Safe travels, Easton.
Hey, I appreciate you guys. Anytime.
Easton Freeze, NFL reporter, Titans host, and beat writer from A to Z Sports. All right, how many teams in the NFL are you putting ahead of the Texans? 713-780-ESPN. It is the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to the Killer Bees
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Mobile Veritex Community Bank Studios, located at Twin Peaks at 59 and Kirby.
Presented by Dos Equis.
Killer Bees broadcasting live, Twin Peaks at Kirby. Stop by, hang out with BMAC, hang out with Blankers. They'd love to see you. How many teams would you put ahead of the Texans on a neutral field? We can go through this just right off the cuff. Just look at division by division. How many teams in the AFC East would you put ahead of the Texans? Look, they beat the Bills. Are you putting them ahead of the Bills?
I mean, to me, it's does Amari Cooper make them better than the team that you faced? Because defensively, you just put a stranglehold on their best player. So, does Amari Cooper make a big enough difference, and you getting, you know, you being healthy at the time that you play him? I still think the Texans would beat the Bills, so I would put them above Buffalo.
Amari hasn't done much in Buffalo. He's missed a game. His first game there, 466 for a touchdown. That was solid. That was his best game. It was against the Titans. He had a catch for 3 yards against Seattle. He had two catches for 55 yards against Kansas City. So Amari hasn't been, like, fantastic, fabulous. I think it depends where you play him. And it goes back to the conversation we were having earlier. I think you beat Buffalo at home. You've done it. I don't think you beat them in Buffalo, though. So on a neutral field, that one's tough for me. I probably have to go Buffalo in a neutral field because the Texans barely squeaked by over the Bills at home. So I'll give the Bills on a neutral field. We can go half there. Dolphins, Jets, Patriots, are they in the conversation at all?
No. I don't really think so. I think that, you know, Dolphins are trying to get right, but their defense is suspect too. Patriots, no. Jets, no. So, I mean, no.
All right, AFC.
Yeah, Bills is the only team I would take over the Texans in that division.
Okay, so, I mean, we could go one there since we two against one. AFC North, Browns, no. How about the Bengals at 4-7? Neutral field, Cincinnati, Houston, neutral field.
It's a tough one for me because offensively they're really good and Burrow and Chase are playing great. But you got Stingley and you got a pass rush. And Burrow has shown that he's taken a lot of pressure. His offensive line has been less than. And their defense hasn't been very good. I would still take the Texans on a neutral field to beat the Bengals.
Yeah, I would too. Like, and I probably shouldn't put any weight in last year's game. But, I mean, Stroud went into Cincinnati. Texans went into Cincinnati whenever they were playing pretty good Cincinnati before the Burrow injury. And they won there. And the Bengals' defense is really bad. Like, their offense is electric. I think Burrow's playing at a high level. Chase is the best receiver in the NFL. Their defense is really bad. I would take the Texans over Cincy on a neutral field. Baltimore, Pittsburgh.
Baltimore, no. They're better than Pittsburgh. I think they would lose to Baltimore on a neutral field right now. So I would split those and say they beat Pittsburgh, they lose to Baltimore.
I'm with you on that one. I think they beat Pittsburgh on a neutral field. I think that they lose to Baltimore on neutral field. So that's a clean sweep. So Baltimore's the second team collectively. Anybody else in the AFC South worth bringing up?
I don't think so.
AFC South, no.
Okay. So Vegas, no, at 2-8. Denver at 6-5. Chargers at 7-3. The two surprise potentially playoff teams in the AFC West. Neutral field, Chargers, Broncos against the Texans.
Texas beat both of them. I think that is good.
Both?
Yeah, both of them. I know you've been a Bronco guy too, but as good as their up and coming those teams are, I think you're more polished and you have more definitively skilled players, big time players on both sides of the football than either one of those two teams.
Yeah, I would take them over both of them on a neutral field too. I'm curious just which one you're not taking over the Texans, Brian?
It's actually the opposite of what Joel was thinking. I would take the Chargers over the Texans on a neutral field. I think Herbert's playing better than Stroud right now. They have just as good of a defense, or are very close to the Texans' level of defense. The Chargers' defense has been outstanding. And we've seen some of their young weapons start to step up with Quentin Johnson and Ladd McConkey start to make a difference in the passing game. So I would take the Chargers on a neutral field over the Texans. I would not take the Broncos, even though the Broncos' defense is elite. I don't know if I would trust Bo Nix against the Texans' defense right now. Whereas Herbert has faced those bullets before. He's been under pressure and he's come through on the other side. I would take the Chargers on a neutral field.
Yeah, well, you get outvoted, so you're not getting that one. Kansas City. I think this is probably unanimous here.
Yeah, easy.
All right, so we have
For sure.
So we have three teams ahead of the Texans on a neutral field in the AFC: Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City. So Texans, fourth best team in the AFC. Carried over to the NFC. New York, no. Dallas, no. How about Washington? The Commanders in a neutral field against the Texans.
That's a tough one. I lean Texans. I think that as good as Jaden Daniels has been, I still think when you get to a playoff-type atmosphere, a playoff game, there'd be a lot to prove there. And I feel like Texans – I like the Texans' defense better than Washington's defense. And I think that from an offensive perspective, CJ would be okay. And with the combination of Mixon and the pass game, I would lean Texans.
Yeah, I would take the Texans over the Commanders, too. I think it would be tight. I think it would be like a two-point spread at most. But I'd take the Texans over the Commanders. Unanimous, Brian?
Yeah. The Commanders' offense has been surprising this year, but it's pretty much a one-man passing attack with Terry McLaurin. We saw what happened where the Eagles took him out, and he only had one catch. The Commanders' offense couldn't keep up. So I would trust Stingley to keep Terry McLaurin in check, and the Texans will win that game.
Okay. Philadelphia, the Eagles, neutral field.
I don't think they beat the Eagles. I think the Eagles have a really good defense. I think the Eagles are clicking on all cylinders offensively. You've got Saquon now, too. I would take the Eagles.
Yeah, I would go Eagles over the Texans, too.
Unanimous.
Okay. How about the NFC North, Chicago, Green Bay, Minnesota? Anybody from that collection you're taking over the Texans?
I mean, do we have to take Minnesota?
They lost to Minnesota and Green Bay.
I know, but Minnesota was so lopsided. It feels like we have to say Minnesota.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, man. I don't know that I take the Texans over Detroit, Minnesota, or Green Bay. And that's hard for me to say because
of
how much I don't believe in Jordan Love. But, I mean, you won at home. Statistically, you were head and shoulders above them. Yes, it was a closer game. I don't know that I could take the Texans against any one of those three teams.
Yeah, I think on a neutral field they beat Green Bay. They very easily could have won the game at Green Bay. I don't think they played all that well. I also think they beat Minnesota now. I feel like Minnesota peaked early in the year, quite frankly.
I think Sam Darnold did, for sure.
Yeah, I don't think Minnesota's nearly as good as they were when the Texans played them. The game was in Minnesota. I think the Texans would actually beat the Vikings. I think it would be like the Cleveland Browns situation from last year in the 2023 season, whenever Cleveland beat you soundedly in the regular season, and then you beat them easily in the postseason. I actually think it'd be like that. I would take Minnesota, but you guys are different there. And then I wouldn't give them a win over Detroit. I think Detroit's got the best roster in the NFL.
Yeah, Detroit. There's no way I'm taking the Texans over Detroit. I mean, like you said, I mean, you could say that the Texans didn't play their best game against the Packers, but maybe Josh Allen didn't play the best game against the Texans. It happens from time to time. So Jared Goff didn't play his best game against the Texans. Does that happen again when you play them? I highly doubt it. And I think that they are, I agree with you, the most complete team in the NFL, so I can't take the Texans over them.
So how many teams from the AFC, the NFC North did we vote in? Were y'all both on Green Bay?
I'm definitely voting in the Lions. You swayed me on the Vikings, especially if it's neutral field.
Guys overruled me on Green Bay and Minnesota because I thought that the Texans would lose to all three.
I think the home crowd in Minnesota played a big factor in that Week 3 game, so neutral field obviously takes that out. So I would pick the Lions over them, but take the Texans in a neutral field over the Packers and the Vikings.
Okay, all right. I talked you into it. Look at me lawyering up. NFC South, any NFC South team? Atlanta, Tampa, New Orleans, Carolina?
No.
Nah.
Yeah, I'm out on all of them. Any NFC West team? Arizona, L.A., Seattle, San Fran?
I can't see. San Francisco to me is the wild card there.
I don't know. Obviously, Brock Purdy's hurt now. He's questionable going to this game, so I guess it depends on when you play.
But if, if we go neutral field, everybody's healthy.
Assuming full health, I think I would take San Francisco.
I'd take San Francisco as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm not taking any of them. I San Francisco, to me, is like a paper champion. Like, they haven't played good. Like, they haven't. Like, they've had
You're
moments
wrong,
where it's like, yeah, here's San Fran.
Know.
Like, to me, it's all resume. Like, it's almost – it's weird because I think we look at, like, Detroit, and we're not willing to give Detroit the best team in the NFL because, like, well, the Kansas City Chiefs are back-to-back champions. They have the cachet. I think Detroit's just flat-out better. But because they're wearing a Lions uniform and not a Chiefs uniform, everybody's hesitant to say that. I think it's the opposite with San Francisco. I think San Francisco is an incredibly mediocre team this year, but because they're this big, bad San Francisco team we expected, we're still holding them on that pedestal where I don't think that they belong.
See, I think they do, and I think it's because the resume of the past says that they've been there, done that. And you're right in the fact that they've been paper contenders all season long, but that's because of the holdout with Ayuk and with them getting hurt and then with McCaffrey being out the majority of the year. But overall, if they're healthy, they're almost as talented as almost any other team in the league, not
being
the Lions.
I mean, they're not healthy. Like, Ayuk is out for the year.
Right, right.
Brock Purdy's leaving practice and shutting himself down because his arm hurts. McCaffrey's like, yes, he's back, and McCaffrey's Christian McCaffrey. Debo Samuel's not playing well. Kittle's been banged up. Like, they aren't healthy.
So is Bosa. Yeah, but I think that but I'm saying, unlike other teams where you say they look good on paper, but their guys are diminished and they're not the same kind of team, I think that if they do get healthy, and they put themselves behind the eight ball, but if they do get healthy, I think they can play with anybody in the NFC.
Yeah, I mean, I do too. I just they're not. They're just not that healthy. So did y'all outvote me on any of those teams in the NFC West?
Well, yeah, it sounds like we outvote you in San Francisco because,
okay.
I mean, we've talked about, I think it last week, that the Texans had only played one game where both Stroud and Mixon were both healthy at the same time until this last week against the Cowboys. Well, I mean, San Francisco could say the same thing with Kittle and McCaffrey. Obviously, McCaffrey out 9 weeks, comes back, and then Kittle missed last week with the hamstring injury. So
he says he's playing this week.
He says he's playing this week. We'll see how he looks. He's looked great all year long when he's been in there. So it's a question of what San Francisco team you get, but if it's a team with a healthy Kittle and a healthy McCaffrey, I think I would take San Francisco.
Okay, I'll vote it there. So five teams collectively as we voted on. San Francisco and Detroit out of the NFC, and then in the AFC, Buffalo, Baltimore, Kansas City.
Oh, at Philly. We voted for Philly.
Oh, Philly, that's right. So six. So six teams ahead of the Texans. So we have the Texans as the seventh best team in the NFL. Does that feel fair?
That's what I had them on my list when I was doing this exercise leading up to today. I came up with seven, so yeah, that feels right to me.
We have them jumping three teams ahead of them in the standings. Minnesota, Pittsburgh, and the Chargers. And we have a team that is tied with them, Baltimore, beating the Texans.
Yeah, I think that sounds right.
Yeah, I do too. I think it sounds fine. 09793, he says three Chiefs, Ravens, Eagles. And he says equal to Pittsburgh, Detroit, Buffalo. Okay, interesting. Another texter weighing in, full strength with Will Anderson, Christian Harris. We beat those teams. I bet each one of you $100 on those three, even the Eagles. Okay, well, send that $100 to Brian. He'll hold it in escrow, and I'll take you up on that bet, 8863. All right, 713-780-ESPN. BZ Money. Let's hand out some winners when we come back. It is the Bees, ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Time is precious, and so are our pets. So time with our pets is extra precious. That's why we started Dutch. Dutch provides 24/7 access to licensed vets with unlimited virtual visits and follow-ups for up to 5 pets. You can message a vet at any time and schedule a video visit the same day. Our vets can even prescribe medication for many ailments, and shipping is always free. With Dutch, you'll get more time with your pets and year-round peace of mind when it comes to their vet care.